More and more when I read scripture and hear and read God, I hear Art's voice. Anyone else have that? Thank you. I want to talk this morning about saints. We have the rare opportunity of All Saints Day being a Sunday. We sometimes celebrate it this time of year, but it doesn't always actually fall on this day. I want to talk about who the saints are and some qualities of the saints. But first, a little background. The word saint comes from Latin. Our English word saint really comes from a Latin word, sanctus. It's the same word from which we derive sanctuary. And in Scripture, in the New Testament, when saints are mentioned, it's a Greek word, hagios. It's a word that means, like sanctus, not just holy, but set apart. Saints are somehow holy, but also set apart. Now, in the New Testament, this term is applied fairly generally to all who are following Christ. But the early church sort of took a different approach, and the idea of saints has evolved over time. In the early church, fairly quickly, they began to celebrate people as saints who had not just died in the faith, but been killed. The martyrs, the earliest saints designated by the church, were martyrs who had been killed for their attempt to follow Christ. And in this time, there was no church authority. And so it began to grow up in local areas and regions that they would honor certain individuals from that area as saints. In fact, there were some sort of cults that even grew up around some of these people. Now, as with many things, over time, the church began to think, we better rein this in. And so the idea of the canonization of saints began to grow up, a process for certain people to be designated as saints of the church. In the same way that the church began to say certain books of the Bible were okay and part of God's authority and other books questionable. Again, that word, canonization, it applies both to Scripture and to the saints. It was in 993 that Pope John the 15th, if memory serves me, first designated a saint. He was the first pope to designate someone as a saint of the church. And it was about 200 years later, in 1170, that Pope Alexander the 3rd finally said, you know what, only popes can designate people as saints. And by that time, the whole canonization process had been put in place, including that you must have miracles that can be proven attributed to a person to be designated a saint. Now, this was one of the things the Protestant reformers kind of threw out the window because it was so much smacking of church hierarchy. Yesterday was the 499th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses up on the door of the church. Just a little point of information. Part of the Reformation was, look, the saints are not just these rare individuals designated as such by the hierarchy of the church. Let's get back closer to the New Testament idea. And so the Protestant reformers, our forefathers and mothers in the faith, picked up on things like the communion of the saints and the great cloud of witnesses in Scripture and the fact that saints might be all of us, not just people who have died, not just people who are specifically holy, but all who are trying to follow Christ. That alone sets people apart as saints. And so that's really where we are today. Saints are all of us who are trying to walk this sometimes narrow, difficult path of following Christ. And also, saints are those who are examples, models for us along the way. Whether they have been designated as such by a pope or a denomination or not. And saints have certain qualities about them. And that's where I want to get to the scripture readings this morning. You may have noticed that neither of them mention saints, but they both are talking about a time yet to come. You know, this afterlife or heaven or however you want to designate it. A time when we will gather on the Lord's mountain, according to Isaiah, or around God's throne, according to Revelation. But did you notice the similar things that will happen in both these passages? Both say this is a time when death will be no more. Death has been swallowed up. And when all tears will be wiped from every face. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more grief, no more anxiety. A time of joy in God's presence. Now, obviously, this is not yet. But one of the qualities of saints is keeping hold of that not yet, of that promise of God, the promise that all the junk of this world is not all there is, that all the violence and the suffering and the pain and the grief of this world is not the end of the story. There is something yet to come. Saints hold on to that and trust it. Even if their trust and their faith doesn't seem any larger than a mustard seed, they hold on to that. There is more to come. God has promised it, and I believe it. I wanted to tell you briefly about someone as I was thinking about saints that occurred to me. A woman named Marion Grass. The first church I served was in a little town of 900 people called Leroy, Minnesota, right on the edge of the Great Plains, out in the middle of nowhere, literally. I've been to the middle of nowhere. It was Leroy, Minnesota. A town of 900, so I moved in and it was 901. Marion was not a Presbyterian. She was a member of the Baptist church in town, but I knew her through various ways. We had been in touch. I knew her quite well. Marion was, if she wasn't 90 yet, she was pushing it pretty close. Marion Grass was a deep, faithful Christian. I disagreed with some theological issues with her, but she was deeply, faithfully Christian. Now, Marion was going in for major surgery at the Mayo Clinic up in Rochester, Minnesota, and the Baptist Church did not have a pastor at that point, and I had asked her if she wanted me to stop in. She said, yes, please. So the day of her surgery, I wasn't able to get there, I thought, before her surgery. It was scheduled for early in the day. I got there mid-afternoon. She still hadn't gone into surgery yet. She's 90 years old, facing major surgery, and she had been waiting for, it had probably been 6 or 8 hours at this point. Now, I walked into the room, and her family was all there, and you could cut the tension and anxiety with a knife. Everyone was on edge. Our mother, grandmother, great-grandmother's facing major surgery, and they're making us wait hours and hours and hours. The calmest person in that room was Marion. And as I sat and chatted with her, you would have thought we were sitting on her back patio having lemonade. She was absolutely calm and at peace. She was more calm than I am when I have to wait 5 minutes in line at the grocery store. And I asked her, well, how can you be so calm? And she said, well, you know, it's all in God's hands. God has promised it'll all be good. Whatever happens, I trust in God. I have tried to follow that example in my life ever since and failed miserably. But friends, that is faith and trust in the worst moments to say, God's in charge. I trust these promises of God so much that even as a 90-year-old woman about to face major surgery, what do I have to worry about? The surgery went well, by the way. Marion lived long after I had left that town. I think she lived another 6 or 7 years after that in good health and faithful spirit. That's one quality of the saints. They trust in the promises of God in our scripture readings. But something else about the saints that grows out of the story of Mary and Grass, as well as out of our scripture readings. Do you notice when the saints in Isaiah's telling get to the mountain of God, what do they say? Here is the God for whom we have waited. Here is the Lord for whom we have waited. Saints wait for the Lord. Not always happily, not always as calmly as Marion Grass back there in Minnesota. Maybe with gritted teeth and twitching fingers and toes. But saints wait for the Lord. Because they trust, they wait. And they realize that all will happen in God's time, not always in our time. That's difficult. That's tough. But no one said being a saint was going to be easy. Friends, the call for us, I think on this All Saints Day, is to pay attention to that title, All Saints. We all are doing our best to struggle and follow Jesus Christ. Trying to hold on to those promises. Trying to be patient. That makes us all saints. And I want to get back to Neil's prayer request. There are even some people in this room who are saints to others. Examples, models. And that's what I would like to end by inviting you to begin thinking about for the next few moments. The people in your life who have served as examples, models of faith, of patience, of trust, who have supported you in moments when maybe you weren't feeling quite so faithful and patient. People who've had an effect on your walk of faith in some way or another. To be thinking about who have been the saints in your life. Because after we sing a hymn and get ready to have communion, we're going to take a moment to remember those saints. I invite you to stand as we sing hymn number, whatever it says in your bulletin that I can't remember, as we move.